I'm joined now on the line by Jonathan Ripley-Evans, who's director in Cliff Dekker-Hoffmeyer's dispute resolution practice. And we're talking arbitrations. That's the hearing and determining of a dispute or the settling of differences between parties by an arbitrator or a person that's agreed by both parties. Jonathan is on the line with us, and he's all the way in Mauritius, actually. Jonathan, good evening.
Hi, m'lady. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to have you with us. So you're in Mauritius right now when you're attending the International Council for Commercial Arbitration Congress or conference?
That's correct.
Yeah, tell me what that's about.
So the ICCA is, well, the International Council for Commercial Arbitration. The ICCA is a non-governmental organization which is established for the promotion of international arbitration and mediation around the world. Mm. And they hold these congresses every 2 years. And I'm here as a representative of my firm at the Congress this year. And fortunately, this year it was held in Mauritius.
Yeah. And so what does this mean for us? What are you doing there and how does this impact us? It's all good and well. You're in Mauritius. You're having fun. But now we're hearing about a new dawn in international arbitration law. What are we talking about?
Well, there are two things. The Congress that's taking place at the moment is the start of a dialogue which seeks to bring arbitrations back to Africa. The theme being discussed here is the rule of law in Africa and how we can try and decentralize arbitrations which take place generally in Europe and the States and involving African parties, and we try and bring those arbitrations back home.
Mm.
Obviously, now we're talking about international arbitrations as opposed to domestic arbitrations. And that's where it's directly relevant for the developments in our local laws at the moment.
Mm.
You may be aware that we have one arbitration act in South Africa currently. It dates back to 1965.
Mm.
And that one act governs both international and domestic arbitration. So the moment that you have one or both parties being foreign parties, it would fall in the realm of international arbitration.
Mm.
And that is what this new act to govern.
Right. And so you, let's talk about some of the amendments then, especially when we look at our Act of 1965, 51 years old, it's ancient, right? So not a lot of changes that have taken place. What are some of the points that are being raised with the new Act and how it impacts us here in South Africa?
Well, for the first time, we have a differentiation between international arbitration and domestic arbitration. And international trends have dictated that international arbitrations are to be treated differently to domestic arbitration. There are international rules which are promulgated by various organizations and institutions, and these are different to domestic arbitration. And a domestic arbitration really takes place in South Africa, and it's really subject to the oversight of the courts. And international arbitration runs sort of parallel to that process. So the introduction of this act, as it will be when it comes into force, it will really develop a new area of law that wasn't in place before specifically. It was the blanket provisions of the Arbitration Act, and now all of a sudden we have a law which specifically deals with international arbitration.
Mm.
And the reason why this is so important for international trade, for example, is it gives international trade partners the comfort of knowing that they can choose an independent arbitrator, not be subject to the domestic courts in South Africa, for example, if a dispute arises. So from a comfort perspective for international trade parties, it's quite important. And then there are a few developments which are included in this proposed act. One which is of particular importance is that the moment an international arbitration takes place and a public body in South Africa is a party to the arbitration, the default position is that arbitration is to be held in public.
Mm.
And the positive about that is it would then stimulate transparency and accountability for organizations. Well, that's the theory behind it, at least.
Yeah.
So that's a very positive development in our law.
Yeah, that is a very positive development. And I want to focus on that point specifically, right? So public bodies that are involved in arbitration and how they have to be, everything that takes place needs to be held in public. What was said when that is discussed in this conference? Because now you've got African stakeholders as well, and you know, corruption, transparency, not always such an easy thing for us to get right on this continent. So, I mean, what were some of the challenges that were foreseen in that area?
Well, one of the topics that sort of flowed throughout this conference is how to deal with corruption in arbitration and how the arbitrator is to make determinations when he's faced with allegations of corruption. And when you're talking about crimes, generally crimes you cannot arbitrate. Mm. This is for the settlement of commercial disputes. But a crime like corruption goes to the heart of a commercial dispute if it's involved. And so one of the things that's being debated at the moment is how do arbitrators deal with these aspects? And it's developments like this in the law that facilitate a much more transparent system and makes it easier for the arbitrator at the end of the day. So there will be direct accountability for public bodies and institutions that are involved when they know that the hearings are to be held in public. And I must just say that is the default position. The arbitrator is possessed with the power to declare that the arbitration can be held in private, but only with solid substantiation. So the parties can motivate why the arbitration should be held in public, but the general position is that it should be held
public.
It should be held in public. They would have to motivate for it to be held in private.
Yeah. I guess what I was trying to get to was what impact that has on corruption and the goal of transparency on the continent, not necessarily corruption being the case here. But when we say public arbitrations on the African continent specifically, what impact that has, especially in being an example, right, to dispute resolution on the continent?
Yes, well, firstly, this is a South African act that only binds the South African public bodies. And so it really is it is making South Africa accountable for its commercial transactions. I must just add that this doesn't include investment disputes, which is a separate area in itself, and it's regulated separately, and that's not really the topic for our discussion this evening. But commercial disputes involving public bodies, and it is a problem in Africa, and it is one of the hot topics at the conference that I'm at the moment. And the reason why it's such a hot topic is because it directly affects confidence of trading partners. And people want to see more developments like this, which shows that certain countries with whom they're dealing are willing to be accountable and are willing to have open hearings of disputes which may arise. Disputes arise all the time, but it's when the disputes are resolved behind closed doors that people don't really see what's going on.
Yeah.
So this is a really positive move from a South African perspective, and we are hopeful that more countries in Africa will make similar amendments to their laws to allow for such transparency.
Yeah. A few changes to the power of the Minister of Economic Affairs when it comes to foreign arbitral awards. Just clarify that for me.
That's a rather peculiar situation. We had an act called the Protection of Businesses Act, which provided for protection of the enforcement of foreign awards. It's quite an outdated act as well, but what it did is it sought to protect South Africans and South African companies from the enforcement of awards which may have been obtained overseas, both arbitral and court awards, which our courts may not be keen to enforce, for example, punitive damages awards. So the Protection of Businesses Act actually makes a specific provision for the enforcement of arbitral awards only with the consent of the Minister of Economic Affairs. Now, this is a rather peculiar provision, and it's obscure in its wording, and it's rather unfortunate. And a provision like that scares investors away. They want to know that if they have an arbitral award which is obtained outside of South Africa, that they can enforce it in South Africa. And so the new International Arbitration Act is going to amend that provision. It's going to remove the reference to arbitration in the Protection of Businesses Act so that the New York Convention, which is applicable in South Africa, can be fully enforced, and that is really the enforcement of foreign arbitral awards. So that just means that if a party to a contract obtains an arbitral award overseas, he can simply bring it to South Africa, and the South African courts would enforce that award as a binding award on the parties.
Okay, and then let's talk broadly about the conference itself. You've been addressed by Ban Ki-moon as well. Maybe a few highlights on into what he said and what he spoke about.
Well, the general theme of the conference is the rule of law in Africa and the role that international arbitration can play in assisting the development of the rule of law. Now, the rule of law is a common thread throughout all legal jurisdictions. And there are questions about the rule of law in Africa when you look at the conduct of certain leaders throughout the years. It's not a recent problem. And so most of the discussions that we've had at this conference have all been about stimulating the rule of law and the confidence in the rule of law in Africa. And this is all with the intention of bringing international arbitrations back home, so to speak. For many years, disputes have arisen between African nations and African and other nations, and these disputes, if they're sent to arbitration, are often arbitrated in Paris and London, for example, which comes at a great expense. So people like Ban Ki-moon addressed us on his support for the drive, the movement to bring arbitration back to Africa, to upskill the African arbitrators and lawyers, to understand the international trends, to keep up to date with the trends, and most importantly, to give confidence to the rest of the world that Africans are capable of resolving their own disputes. And it's a perception that has existed for some time, and it's unfortunate. But things are changing, and there's been a general positive vibe at this conference about that. And it's a general acknowledgement that these disputes have to come back to Africa.
Yeah, you talk about how he's touched on the need to upskill arbitrators, and there's a few amendments in the new regime that look at immunity being granted to arbitrators. Just explain that for me.
So under the old act, arbitrators weren't automatically granted immunity. So the immunity would have to come from contract. If I can just take one step back, so arbitrations are always conducted by agreement between the parties. So you need their power comes from the agreement between the parties, which refers the disputes event. Now, if that agreement doesn't give the arbitrators immunity, they can be held liable for damages arising out of decisions that they may grant, which are adverse and which cause unforeseen damages to the parties. Now, under the new act, which is in line with international best practice, the arbitrators are no longer left being scared of civil penalties and civil damages being incurred by the parties, and are given the freedom to then exercise their legal jurisdiction that the parties have trusted upon them. So it's a necessary amendment in our law. It's by no means novel, but it most certainly is necessary to encourage the arbitrators to exercise their judicial discretion without fear.
Yeah. Well, this is great stuff, and thanks so much for informing us. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, Jonathan.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
You must be enjoying the weather there. How's the weather? Is it great?
It is fantastic.
Lucky you. Very, it's freezing down here. Enjoy it while it lasts. Jonathan Ripley-Evans, director in Cliff Decker of Mayor's Dispute Resolution Practice, speaking to us all the way from Mauritius, attending the 23rd International Council for Commercial Arbitration Congress, where they're discussing some of the amendments to the International Arbitration Act. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, saying that these are changes that will contribute to economic development, protect human rights, and deepen partnerships of business communities, and also help the world to overcome hatred and uphold dignity.